This year, I had the great privilege and pleasure of teaching our students in Sinai Temple trope, which is the skill of reading Torah. And while I was quite competent at teaching this skill, I was deathly afraid to walk into a classroom of fourth and fifth grade students for the first time. So I prepared postcards and posters and flashcards and PowerPoints. And I went into that classroom and I gave them their goal for our semester. As a group, we were going to learn how to read from the Torah. Just three sentences as a group. To put it lightly, it was a disaster. So I went home and I regrouped. And the next week, I walked into that classroom again, sternly, and I told the children the same goal. Three sentences of Torah that we will learn together as a group. But this time I told them, if they can accomplish that goal by the end of the semester, they will receive an edible reward. I will bake them myself a brownie pie. Well, suffice to say, those kids learned more than three sentences of Torah in world record speed. And that night I began baking. I learned two very quick lessons from those moments in the classroom. The first is that food sells. But the second more important lesson that I learned is that reward sells as well. Think about your email inbox and the emails that you received that were perhaps unwanted, either from frequent flyer airlines, or different credit card companies, or different supermarkets. You know how hard it is to rack up the miles to receive a free flight, not only domestically, but of course internationally. We have to figure out which credit card to use in order to receive the best rewards. And supermarkets somehow know already what you are buying, and they sent you the reward for that exact product and another product that you definitely don't need. We want more for less, and we want it now. Our Torah this morning in Parshat Ekev tells us that reward and punishment is part of our Jewish tradition. In fact, we read in our Torah portion a paragraph from our Siddur that we read every single day. The second paragraph of the Shema. V'haya im shamoa tishma'u el mitzvotai. The Torah tells us that if we obey God's mitzvot, God's commandments, then we will receive reward. Those rewards are rain for our fields, grain, wine, oil. The time that the Torah is written, that was parnasah, that was sustenance, that was salary. But if you do not obey God's commandments, then you will not receive those rewards. But there is a problem. Because according to rabbinic tradition, the reward that you receive for doing a mitzvah, for doing one of the commandments of the Torah, is not to be found in this world, but the reward comes in Olam Haba, the world to come. So how is it that in our Torah this morning, it clearly states that the reward is right in front of our eyes? And so in typical Jewish fashion, I'll answer with another question. The Talmud tells of a student that wanted to go to a yeshiva so bad. He wanted to study Torah, but he had no money. And so that student received a scholarship. He received money for the sole purpose of going to the yeshiva to learn Torah. And the rabbis asked, is that money a reward? And while you may think that it sounds like a reward, our rabbis answer that it is not a reward at all. You see, that money was given before the action. And we know that when we receive a reward, it is given after the act. We do not hand deliver rewards before the act, because we know that will defeat the purpose of giving the reward itself. And with all that said, Jewish tradition puts a little twist in how reward works. A popular question that is asked among synagogue professionals in today's modern Jewish world is this. Why should I focus on I? Why should I be part of a synagogue community? Why should I be part of a sacred community? If you go to most synagogue websites, which is actually a hobby of mine, you will see that during the summer months, banners begin to pop up on different sites advertising, not just for membership, but for the high holiday season and everything that synagogues offer throughout the year. But we can ask ourselves why. We can do it on our own. We can push the button on our iPhone and ask Siri any question, even about God, and they'll give you some type of answer. We have access to the greatest rabbis through technology. We have access to the world's best scholars at our instant on our phone. So what will it do for me, we ask? What reward will I get being part of a sacred community? And I can give you a list that is lengthy. A litany of member benefits that each and every synagogue will give to you. But I dare not do that because I run the risk of being just a service industry. However, the 16th century Talmudic commentator by the name of Maharsha, when he looks at that exact paragraph in the Shema, telling us that we will get rewards for doing God's commandments, when I looked at his response, I thought he would be a fantastic membership director of any synagogue. Because what he does is he distinguishes between the individual on one hand and the community on the other. Maharsha explains that the Torah is correct, that the individual does receive rewards for doing God's mitzvot, but that is olam haba, that is the world to come. Basically, it works like this. The more mitzvot that you and I do individually, we put a check on our spiritual scorecard. And when that day comes to face God in the day of judgment, the more points you have, the more rewards you will receive. But for a group, he says, a group who constitutes a sacred community, it is different. For a group who constitutes a sacred community, he says, the Torah is not speaking to you or you or you, but the Torah is speaking to us. Because when a group lives in sacred covenant with God's commandments, that community receives a reward, olam hazeh, in this world. For proof, just ask anyone in this room who has been a member of this or any synagogue for one day, one month, one year, one decade. Ask them what they receive from being part of a sacred community. Because I believe that we do not join a synagogue to put it on any one of our resumes, but rather, we join a synagogue to make that community resume part of our own DNA. For while there are many mitzvot that I can do by myself sitting in my own living room, and there are many of the own mitzvot that you can do as well sitting at your office, there are many more mitzvot that take a kehilah kedosha, a sacred community, to do together. If you think about it for a moment, that is exactly what happens in the sanctuary every Shabbat, what happens in our chapel every morning and evening, what happens inside and outside our walls every single day of the year. Just think about right now. We have celebrated a beautiful simcha of a bat mitzvah. Well, in a few moments, we will acknowledge those who have passed before us. We will have joy and we will have sorrow. And each one of us sitting in here, I have one type of relationship with God. And while the person sitting next to me may have a different type of relationship with that same God, the reward is knowing that each of us together is in that relationship. And for that, we are truly grateful. The Talmud tells the story of Rabbi Yossi Bar Kisma, not a well-known rabbi, but he was walking down the street in the village where people did not know him. And one person passed him and said, Shalom, he greeted him. So the rabbi did what was nice and he greeted him back. And then the man asked the rabbi, he said, Rabbi, where do you serve? And he said, I serve in a very large city that has Torah scholars and sages all around it. The man then asked the rabbi, he said, Rabbi, will you come to our community and serve us? The man told the rabbi, I will give you anything you want. I will give you jewels. I will give you treasures. I will give you gems. But please come and serve us as a rabbi. The rabbi without even thinking told the man this. He said, my son, whatever you give me, will not be enough because I must live in a place filled with Torah. Now you may think for a second that Rabbi Kisma rejected them. But the story does not tell you if he took the job or not. See, there are two options. The first is he could have seen no future in that community, and he could have rejected them. But the second is a more optimistic approach. Rabbi Kisma could have saw spiritually starving people, and he could have gone to that community, served them as a rabbi, not living a Jewish life for them, but creating a Jewish life with them. What Rabbi Kisma allows us to understand is that whether he took that job or not, is that he needed to be surrounded by people with a life of Torah values. And so over the next 6 weeks, as we are about to enter into the month of Elul, and approach the high holiday season, you might think to yourself this question: what will I get out of it? What will I be rewarded as part of a sacred community? And for that, I dare you to ask a slightly different question. Ask yourself this: what will that community, what will Sinai Temple, what will any synagogue, what will they lack if I am not there? And most importantly, what will we do together to raise our spirits, our voices, and our souls, so that when that day comes of Olam Haba, the world to come, we will surely know that that reward will be waiting. For it is then and only then, as the Kotzker Rebbe teaches us, that the Torah will not only be on our hearts, but the Torah truly will be in our hearts. Shabbat Shalom.